Long, long ago, Goliath on the battlefield, standing before the children of Israel, put fear into those individuals' hearts. And for a period of time, absolutely nothing was done. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 4 through 10. In the days of Nehemiah, he learned that the city of Jerusalem laid waste and had been for many, many years, and that the gates thereof were burned with fire, and there was absolutely no activity in the city at all in reparation. Nehemiah 1, 1 through 3. In the days of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, a foundation had been laid for the new temple, and yet there was absolutely no construction thereupon. That temple lay there with no activity at all from the Jews. Haggai 1, 1 through 3. There was a sinner, a fornicator, in the congregation of Corinth. And the congregation at Corinth had done absolutely nothing with regard to this particular individual. There was no instruction, there was no discipline, there was no withdrawal, there was absolutely nothing done to this individual. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. My friends, as I think about these historical accounts, a question that comes to my mind is this: why? Why was there absolutely nothing being done during those particular times? And I am sure that there may be numerous reasons in every one of those instances. But there is one thing that is certain. One of the causes of the inactivity was the indifference upon the part of God's people. What is indifference? Indifference can be defined as little or no concern. Having no interest in, having no feelings for. Another definition is mediocre quality. We examine biblical history, we examine all those events of those Bible characters, and oftentimes what we see is indifference has set into the hearts and to the activities of God's people. And sadly, indifference continues to infect the children of the living God even today. In our lesson this morning and in our lesson next Sunday morning, we want to be talking about this concept of indifference. And we want to do two things this morning. Number one, we want to talk about the disease of indifference as it is presently affecting the church. Not necessarily the church at Oceanside, but the church universally. And secondly, we want to look at some of the causes of this indifference that is among us. Next week, we're going to be talking about the cure of indifference. Indifference does not have to stay in the hearts of individuals, but indifference can be cured if the right things are done by those who are infected by it. Point number one, the disease of indifference. Is indifference really invading the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I believe that it is. And I believe that you can look about in various areas and you can see indifference in numerous areas among us. If there were anything that you and I ought to be zealous for, if there are anything that you and I should desire beyond measure, it should be the truth of God's Word, should it not? It was by that truth that you and I were made free from our sins. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. The Bible declares unto us that the church, The house of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. My friends, we are the depository of truth. We are the holders of truth. And you and I are supposed to be the disseminators of that truth as well. The wise man of old said, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom and understanding and instruction." Proverbs 23, verse 23. And yet as we look among us as a church, in many places, the truth is no longer something that is revered. It is no longer something that is desired. In some places, it is not even heard that often. Many times, there are congregations wherein the preacher stands before the congregation and he preaches for 20, 30, 40 minutes, and yet there are no scriptures at all in those lessons. None. Occasionally, there may be an allusion to a passage of Scripture. Maybe the preacher stands before them and he reads one little verse, and that's the only amount of God's Word that is heard the entire time. There are some places wherein the congregation no longer studies just the pure, simple Word of the living God. They don't just open up their Bibles and look at something like Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians. They don't examine books like Genesis or the Minor Prophets. Those books haven't been read, haven't been studied, haven't been heard in years. No, denominational material is now in vogue in many places. Members of the Lord's church have become satisfied with pop psychology, with positive thinking, with current events, with skits and dramatic performances. And we scratch our heads and we wonder, what in the world is wrong? Folks, in many of those places, truth was one time heard. Truth was one time extolled. It was one time something that individuals desired. Why the change? One of the causes is indifference upon the part of the brethren. A second area that we could examine is worship, is it not? The psalmist said in long ago, in Psalm chapter 29, verse 2, "Let glory be given unto the name of the Lord, and worship Him in holiness," the text says. Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." John 4, verse 24. But yet we look about us, and don't we see much indifference with regard to the worship of the Almighty God? Many of my brethren have literally convinced themselves that we need as little worship as possible. There are some churches on Sunday nights, if they're there for 25 minutes, they're lucky. Did you know that? And guess what? The brethren love to have it so. "Oh, this is wonderful. We're out at 6:30 before the sun goes down." Unbelievable, isn't it? Many individuals in congregations, in fact, it is a trend among us that many brethren will not come back on Sunday evening. 1/4 to 1/2 will not be back. And sadly, many of them will not think a thing about it. Folks, what is that? That's indifference in the heart of an individual, is it not? We find congregations that have literally turned the worship service into a circus or into some kind of concert event in order to please the brethren rather than bowing before an awesome God and worshiping Him. In some places, churches have stopped Sunday evening worship altogether. Did you know that? No more Sunday evening worship of the Almighty God. Amazing, isn't it? And yet, you look back maybe 15, 20 years ago, and guess what? Those congregations were very vibrant and fervent in their worship. And yet, all of a sudden, everything has changed. Why? Folks, one of the common denominators is indifference. We as the church, to a great extent, have grown indifferent with regard to morality, have we not? In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica and says, "But ye, brethren, have not been called unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." One of the marks of God's people is purity. One of the marks of God's people is holiness. One of the marks of God's people is that they keep themselves from evil and from iniquity. And yet, we've been sucked into the things of the world, have we not? We have our televisions, we have our movies, we have our music. And all of us have become convinced that in order to have those things, then I must tolerate the nastiness that is in them, haven't we? That's a mindset that almost everybody holds today, isn't it? Congregations of the Lord's people have individuals who are therein who smoke, they drink, they gamble, they go out to the bars, they party a little bit, and guess what? That's okay. Nobody bothers about that. In many congregations of the Lord's people, we find two or three or four or five or more who are living in adulterous marriages, and not one person is saying anything about the situation. Folks, immorality has permeated even the church. Sometimes we talk like the world, and we even look like the world in our manner of dress, do we not? And we act as though it's not a big deal. You see, we're no longer feeling, we're no longer concerned about those things. We're indifferent. The local congregation is another area wherein we find some indifference, do we not? One of the questions that I like to ask is this: who came up with the idea of the local congregation? You would think, by the way some individuals treat it, that man did. You know what? God didn't plan for a church like Oceanside to ever exist, folks. That could not be farther from the truth. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for the church universal. But He knew that there was no way for the entirety of the world to come together in one place. And in His wisdom, He established local congregations of the Lord's people in order for us to be able to serve Him. And He placed elders over those local congregations, did He not? To the elders of Ephesus, Paul spoke these words: "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." That local congregation at Ephesus, God had placed these men over, folks. It's God who established the concept of the local work. And yet, so many are indifferent about what goes on in the local work. There are positions in every church, folks, that need to be fulfilled. Did you know that? One of the biggest areas that almost every church has is this: we need teachers! And you beg, and you holler, and you plead, and guess what you can't get? You can't get teachers. Oh, now you say, "Well, Vic, you get teachers." Yeah. The same ones who teach for 50 years. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, some of these teachers teach, folks. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had enough individuals that there could be a rotating schedule and nobody gets stuck in a Bible class? Where are all our teachers? Individuals have been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years. Where are our teachers? Oh, well, that's just the way it is. Folks, that's an attitude of indifference, is it not? Right around this area, within just a few miles, I've talked to several members of the church, and guess one of the areas wherein congregations are hurting, folks? In their contribution. Here's the budget. Here's what the elders deem necessary in order for the church to engage in all of the works that they desire to engage in. The call goes out to meet it, and guess what? It is not being met. 100, 200, 500, $1,000, $1,100, $1,200, below budget. We see it, we know it, and yet what do we do about it? Very little. It just continues over a long period of time. Indifference to the local congregation. What about the works of the church? A call goes out, we're going to have a gospel meeting. We bring a man in, we pay $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 in order for this meeting to be had. And guess what? Not even the members of the local church are here on Monday and Tuesday nights. Don't need that. What's the deal? Where are you? What are you doing at home? That's so much greater than hearing the Word of God proclaimed by a faithful gospel preacher, folks. Don't need that. Just total indifference. When I sat down and started writing this lesson, I wrote down 16 areas within the church. I've only talked about four. 16 areas, folks. Wherein there is indifference on the part of members with regard to the work of a local church. We could talk about visitation, couldn't we? We could talk about spreading the gospel to the lost. We could talk about our desire to go out and to recover those individuals who are erring. We could talk about church discipline and how it's practiced in some congregations of the Lord's people. Complete, total indifference to what God desires in numerous areas of the Lord's work. Folks, indifference has set in among us, and it is a disease. Now, let's go to point number two. The question is what? Why? Why is there so much indifference among brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? Let's talk about a few reasons. Reason number one. Many individuals believe that they cannot make a difference. Why are we so lax in our personal work, folks? One of the reasons is because in our minds we have developed this idea that we really can't make a difference. We go out into our communities and we knock 100 doors and 100 individuals turn us down, don't they? Well, see there? We're never going to make a difference in this area. And so guess what we do? We just don't do, don't we? And folks, maybe the problem is we don't understand the difference that we are really supposed to be making in that area known as personal evangelism. There's only one difference that I'm supposed to make. Only one difference. And that is to make certain that where there is soil, there is seed that is put thereon. That's the only thing I'm required to do. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's my duty, Mark 16:15. There's my obligation. That's what I'm supposed to do. Sow the seed of God's word and let it set on the hearts of those individuals. It is not my responsibility to to convert them. Whose duty is that? Folks, that's the work of the Almighty God, is it not? The Apostle Paul understood it. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Folks, all we need to be doing is getting out there sowing seed, don't we? But yet, because we think individuals are not going to be receptive, because we really can't make a difference, we've become quite indifferent to the matter, haven't we? Secondly, sometimes we become indifferent because there are so many other people around us who are indifferent. Isn't that right? We come in and we sit around two or three or four or five or ten or whatever it is who are just as indifferent as can possibly be. Oh, this morning they're right here in worship with us. We can look around, we shake hands, we talk, and tonight, guess what? They're not here. I'm there all by my little lonesome. And you know what we begin to think? Well, if they don't care, why should I care? If they're not going to bother, why should I bother? If they're not going to expend all of this energy and effort and labor and toil, then why? You see, folks, indifference causes individuals not to engage in the work of the Almighty God, and that's sin. And what happens is this: once sin gets a hold of a congregation, it has the tendency to permeate that congregation. The Apostle Paul said, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. So there's another cause of our indifference. So many around us have been infected by it. But point number three: sometimes we grow indifferent because we know that in order to do what needs to be done, there is going to have to be a lot of focused effort to get it done. We live in a world where we want everything quick, don't we? We just love quickness. They've been coming up with college programs now, as you can go from being a graduate to a doctor. 3 years. Not a medical doctor, thank the Lord. Not in 3 years, let's hope not. The quick, easy programs, folks. But you see, when something is going to take a long period of time, and it's going to take a lot of diligent, focused effort, guess what? We start off strong, don't we? Try to start a good visitation program in a church. Oh, man. You'll feel the fellowship hall, won't you? Whoa, we're going to start a visitation program. 50, 60 people are there, just excited as can be, eat a huge meal, get a wonderful lesson, excited as they can be, and in 3 months, there's about 10 of them there handing out cards, and they really don't care much anymore. Just kind of go through the motions, don't they? Happens all the time, folks. You see, visitation is 24/7. Visitation is 365 days a year, is it not? It's going to have to be done every week of every year, folks, if we're going to do what really needs to be done for a congregation. But yet, it's going to require way too much effort, and so we just kind of give up, don't we? But my Bible teaches me that Christianity is work. Does your Bible teach that? And the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 11, "Let us therefore labor that we may enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Folks, it doesn't matter how much work it takes. We need to be working, don't we? But you know what I find too? I find in congregations there are people who are working hard. You know that? Every congregation that I've ever been in, there are people who work hard, folks. And they don't just work in one little area. Oh, no. They work in every area. Every time there's a call for help, guess what? Those people are there, aren't they? And guess what? You can count on them. You can bank on they're going to be there. But sometimes over the course of time, those people get tired, don't they? And those people grow weary because they feel the burden that's on their shoulders. We're supposed to be a body of Christ. And every member is supposed to be laboring in certain areas. There's no one part of my body that does all the work of the body. Is there? Not my body. My body's divided up into many different parts. And yes, some of those parts do several things. But there's no one part that has to do everything. If it did, it'd just wear out, wouldn't it? It almost wears out now sometimes. And so individuals grow tired. And guess what? They need a rest. And they stop. And folks, the minute you stop, that's dangerous, isn't it? You want to know why? Because it's so hard to get started again, isn't it? It's kind of like when you stop when you're old. That's what I've been told anyway. If I ever sit down, have you ever heard somebody say that? It's over. Lights out. I'm gone. And that's the way it is sometimes with members of the church. If they ever stop, they never start again. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he said almost the same thing, but with these words, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." Another cause of our indifference is sin, folks. Just plain old sin. Go out there, get yourself involved deeply in sin, and guess what? Spiritual things won't matter much anymore. Oh, yes, you may put on a facade for individuals to see. You may have to keep up that outward appearance so nobody really knows what's going on. But the more sin we engage in, the more we practice it, guess what it does? It stifles, and eventually it will kill our interest in spiritual things. And sin, when it hath conceived, or lust when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1, verse 13. Death, folks. And then another reason why we grow indifferent is because we just don't see any success, do we? I don't know about you. I like to see a little success in the efforts, right? You go out and you knock doors all day, you hope you at least get one Bible study, don't you? We want to see the congregation grow. We want to see the contribution up. We want to see individuals excited. We want to see individuals involved. We want to see a huge youth program. We want to see this. We want positive results. But guess what? They don't always happen, do they? And the longer we trot along and no success, nothing positive, boy, we just get indifferent, don't we? Ah. That's just the way it is down there at that church. It's terrible, isn't it? That church doesn't never mind nothing. Indifference in the heart, isn't it? I go back and I look at a few individuals of history, don't you? Noah. Boy, there's a powerful preacher, but guess what? As far as tons of results, don't see that. The world winded up being destroyed, did it not? The prophets of old, folks, they were sent to the northern kingdom, they were sent to the southern kingdom during the reigns of 19 kings in both kingdoms, and guess what? Still both nations taken into captivity because of transgression. Our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came to this earth and engaged in a ministry of about 3 to 3.5 years. And folks, if you look at positive results, By the time he got to the crucifixion, by the time he got to the end of it, there were very few who were there, were there? So the question is, how do we go on? What do we do? It's real simple. Folks, you keep working, you keep laboring, you keep moving forward by faith. That's what you do. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 38, but the just shall live by faith. But we are not of them that turn back. For they that turn back to perdition. Folks, we never stop. We never quit, regardless of whether there's success or no success as far as humans are concerned. Some of the causes of our indifference. You really need that next lesson right now, don't you? I'll see how bad you need it, see if you're here next week. How about that? So I want to spend a little bit of time on how to cure this disease that has infected the precious church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, indifference. My friends, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to be. You see, the element that we've been talking about is the human side of the church, isn't it? There is a human component. All of us are members of the church, but we're just humans and we're not perfect. And yes, there's going to be times when there are problems and difficulties, and we have to look at those and deal with those, don't we? But folks, there's a divine side of the church. God planned it. Jesus purchased it with His own blood. And the Holy Spirit of God guides and governs it through the pages of the precious Word of the living God. And in it, there is salvation to be found, according to Acts 2:38 and Ephesians 5, verse 25. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Folks, the saved are in the church. There are no saved outside of the church. If you want salvation, if you want hope, if you want peace, then guess what you need to do? You need to become a member of the precious body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That body is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Do you need to do that this morning? If you have faith, if you'll repent of sins, confess His precious name, we'll immerse you into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. And you'll arise a member of the Lord's church. And folks, guess what you can do? You can help change the indifference in the body of Christ, can't you? Absolutely. Maybe you're an erring member of the body. Maybe you've not been doing what you need to do. Maybe you have grown indifferent. For whatever reason, folks, rededicate yourself. Become an individual who lives by faith and never turns back. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?